Genesis chapter 19. The morality in America and the world degrades so rapidly that the line once drawn between the moral and immoral become blurry and fuzzy, especially when it comes to homosexuality in America. The several big group of lobbyists in America, and especially in Washington, D.C. and the state capitals, they work vigorously. They work hard. They are the squeaky wheels. They have the loudest mouth, and they get the attention. And also, they have a great allies, major TV, media, and the movie industry from Hollywood. They present gay and lesbian as a poor, abused people who are rejected by the narrow-minded conservative Christians, Christian bigots. With the help of a liberal Hollywood media, and promote homosexuality as an accepted lifestyle. They say they want equality. Actually, what they really want, and they want the privilege right. Corporate America, such as Ford, Chevrolet, Apple, Microsoft, you name them. They all have this. I used to work for one of the corporate America. And there is a class called diversity training. Have you been there? Diversity training is nothing more than propaganda for homosexuality. Bottom line. I know that what they want, but according to the Bible, homosexuality is a sin, just like a sin that we commit. An abomination, but our sin is, you know, typical pride and lust. All of that is not considered as an abomination, but the Bible specified homosexuality as abomination. These people can call whatever they want to call, and they can call me bigot, since I follow the word of God, written by God himself. If they want to call God as a bigot, I'm honored to be called bigot. I know some of you might think that it's wrong for me to say this kind of thing. You came to the church where we teach the Bible. Remember, I asked you to read your Bible, the word of God, the absolute truth and the final authority. This has a final authority, not you, not me. Am I making clear? It doesn't matter what the public opinion says. Public opinion always gets swayed, depending on what they want. I'm not politically correct, nor do I ever want to be politically correct. But I want to be correct godly. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were exceedingly wicked because the men of these cities were given over to sexual practices that were contrary to nature. The word sodomy or sodomize is a synonym for these homosexual practices. The men did not try to hide their sin according to Isaiah 3:9, nor would they repent as it mentioned in Jeremiah 23:14. Sounds familiar? Nowadays, homosexual people, they don't hide their sin. They flaunt that thing. That's what the homosexuals do now. We are going to see the miserable result of a compromiser who lived in the midst of a homosexual town and see what it affects his work with Christ. Let's stop and pray. As we sing, Father, you're an awesome God, gracious and wonderful, so loving, but we tend to forget that you are holy and righteous and just God. You despise unholiness. You despise unrighteousness. You despise unjust. Father, we are not asking you to bend your rule to accommodate us. Make us holy like your Son. And we are holy because of his precious blood. Through salvation. Father, asking you to speak to us this morning. This is a hard subject for the many people to accept. Father, we are asking you to speak to us and let us receive with the gladness. Father, we are asking you to open our heart to receive your word. And you put your word in the one who speaks. And anoint him that he may speak your word, not his own. Father, we pray for President Trump and all the leaders in this country. Father, Seems like a bickering is getting worse and worse, and the country is being divided deeply. Father, we are asking you to speak to them. Let them come to know Christ if they do not know you. Father, let them uphold you and your word and obey you. We desperately need a revival in this country. Let the Christians humble themselves and turn from their wickedness and receive your guidance in such a way that you will bless this nation. Father, we pray for our troops and the law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Again, another officer got killed. Father, we are asking you to protect them and protect the firefighters and our troops. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 19, please. Can you hear me in the back, Barbara? Can you hear me? Not loud enough? Okay, now the two angels came to the Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Note that, please. Sitting at the gate, in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them. He bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Hear now, my lords. Please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned in to him, entered his house. Then he made them a feast, baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Stop there, please. When the heavenly visitors came to Abraham, remember the last week we studied when three visitors came, Jesus Christ and two angels. And Abraham was at the tenth door. Now we see Lot sitting at the gate. Usually when the person said that he was sitting at the gate, that means he's the authority, he's the judge, he's the head man of the town or city. In other words, Lot is no longer pitching his tent outskirts or distance from the Sodom and Gomorrah. He was inside, he had his own house, now he is a part of the city, and he was part of the city leadership. And Lot had gradually abandoned the tent and settled inside of the Sodom. Instead of keeping his eyes on the heavenly city, Lot looked toward the Sodom and began to walk by sight. Then he moved into the Sodom. Lot's heart was in Sodom long before his body arrived there. No doubt he got this from while he was in Egypt with his uncle Abraham. He never overcame Egypt. Whenever we talk about Egypt, it's a kind of typology of the world for us. Erosion of a backslider never happens overnight. Let me say it again. Erosion of a backslider never happens overnight. It is a gradual process that the backslider chooses not to notice it until it is too late. Am I making sense? It does not happen overnight. Nobody get up in the morning, feel like I'm going to sin against God. I'm going to backslide. Nobody does that. Why did the Lord insist that these visitors stay in his home instead of open square? Because he knew the wickedness of this city people, his neighbors. And he was living in a really, really wicked place, yet he chose to stay there. If it was a bad place, he should have moved out. Verse 4, please. Now, before they lie down, the men of the city, men of Sodom, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. And they called to the Lord and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know," note that word, "know, them carnally." Okay, I ask you to know. It's the same word in chapter 4 of Genesis. Adam knew his wife and she bore a child. Remember that? That's a Cain. So when it says know, it's a connotation with a sexually knowing, intimacy. Verse 6. So the Lot went out to them and threw the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brother, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back, they said. This one came in to stay here, and he keep acting as a judge. Now, we will deal worse with you than with him, with them. Then they pressed hard against the man Lot, and came near to break down the door. The man, that's the angels, then reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them, and shut the door. Then they struck the man who were at the doorway, with the doorway of the house, with the blindness, both small and great. So I want you to note the next phrase, please. They became weary trying to find the door. Okay, note that. This citizen of Sodom came to rape these two visitors. The same verse in NIV, Genesis 19:5, it says, they called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. Is that clear enough? That is a shocking demonstration of depravity. But we are not just shocked at the willingness but we are more shocked of the willingness of Lot, who was willing to give up his daughters, two daughters, for the guest. This offer is horrible and we cannot justify. But that's Western culture. This Middle Eastern culture, that's a common. To them, the guest is more important than their own household members. So at any cost, they have to protect the guest safety. Homosexual advocates insist that homosexuals are exactly like everyone else, except they love people of their own sex. But when the conduct of a homosexual is observed, that's not the case. I'm going to bring the stats. And by the way, you cannot find them anymore because the web page is taken down. I found it from the government page, U.S. federal government page. We can bring our statistics and the number of a partner homosexuals have. 43% of homosexuals says they have at least 500 or more sexual partners in their lifetime. 500. Only 1% of homosexuals says that they had four or fewer sexual partners in their lifetime. According to the United States Department of Health and Human Services, 77% of homosexuals says they have met sexual partner in City Park, 62% of homosexual bar, and 61% in theater, 31% in public restroom. Only 28% homosexuals said they have known their partners for at least 1 week before participating in homosexual sex. Isn't that lovely? Homosexuals are actually recruiting younger people from the high school who are full of hormones into their perversive lifestyle because the older generation homosexuals are dying with a sexually transmitted disease and AIDS. The average age of the homosexual men dying with AIDS is 39. Average age of the gay dying of the old other cause is 41. The age of a heterosexual, they call it straight people, married men lived 75 years. Gay men were three times more likely to have an alcohol or a drug abuse problem, and homosexuals are 14 times more likely to have a syphilis, and 23 times more likely to contract a venereal disease. Get this, guys. Listen carefully. AIDS killed 324,029 men and women in the U.S. between 1987 to 1998. In 12 years, 324,000 people, almost 30,000 people a year dying left and right with the same kinds of disease. Let me say one more time. Let me say this as well. If I have AIDS, if I contracted the AIDS virus because I'm a homosexual, and if I'm married to my wife, my doctor cannot, by law, cannot tell my wife, if he's a her doctor, tell her that your husband has AIDS virus. That's the only disease in America the doctor is not allowed to tell other person you will be contaminated. Do you know how that happened? Remember the lobbyist? Loudmouth lobbyist? They created it. Anyone goes against, they get condemned. As a matter of fact, California is trying to pass the law. The pastors who preach against homosexuals will end up in jail. If that happens in Arizona, I'll start the prison ministry. Homosexuals insist that up to 10% of the population of America is homosexuals. But most reliable stats shows only 2.3% of men in their 20s and 30s report ever having had a homosexual experience. But only 1.1% reporting being exclusive homosexuals. Only 1.1% of the population, but they had the biggest mouth. Homosexuals also have an interest in defining themselves as gay. Do you know the meaning of it? Happy or carefree. It is a poor description of a lifestyle that has such a high rate of death, depression, illegal drug use, alcohol, and suicide. Homosexuality is not a disease, nor is a heritage. Is it a heritage? It is nothing more than a downright perversion. It is a sin of a perversive lust. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. And you may say, aren't you a little too strong to say perversion? Let me put it this way. You guys know I'm not very good at construction. Let's say I'm using screwdriver as a hammer. Is that a proper use? Either I'm going to hurt my hand or break the screwdriver, right? When a person is misusing and abusing it, and that kind of has a connotation of a perversion. When God created man and woman, not man / woman or some variation, you don't get up in the morning, so I feel like I'm going to be a woman. So your chromosomes start to change. It does not happen. As I mentioned, archaeologists find only two genders, men or women. They don't find it was a kind of transgender male. They never find. Yes, our God is an awesome God and loving God. Homosexual people claim that they are born in this way and made by our loving God. But they ignore the fact that the Bible stands absolutely against homosexuality. If what they say is true, God made them be homosexual, then why would the same God condemn homosexuality from the Bible? That would be the contradiction to His word, and God would not do that. Am I making sense to you? Go to Book of Romans, chapter 1, our memory verse, please. I can see some of your facial expression. I am hitting the wrong place for you. Verse 24. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to the vile passions. For even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another, man with the man, committing on what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Please note that even after these homosexual people in Sodom was stricken with the blindness in verse 11, did you notice something? They were not heading to their home. They were still looking for a door handle so they can get into the door of Lot's home. They are that driven. We must love the people who practice homosexuality, though we despise the sin of homosexuality. Let me put it this way. Their sin of the homosexuality is no different than the sin of the we commit in the eyes of God. We must show them the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Am I making sense? Your sin, my sin, and the homosexual people's sin is no different. But why does this, the God says, it's an abomination? Because he knew what kinds of disaster it's going to bring to humankind. If any homosexual wants to escape their wicked lifestyle, he or she needs to come to God with a sincere, repentant heart and ask him to deliver him from the bondage of their sin. And God is more than willing to do so. Many homosexual people escaped from their lifestyle and became a sincere Christian. And God used them to start a brand new ministry. Verse 12, please. The man said to Lot, Have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So the Lot went out, spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of the place, for the Lord will destroy this city." And get this, guys. To his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. The effect of a last life of a compromise is clearly sin. When he spoke with utmost seriousness to his sons-in-laws about the judgment of God, they thought he was joking. The life of Lot showed us that it's possible to have a saved soul and wasted life. Go down to verse 15, please. Then the morning dawned, and the angel urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, and lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." While he lingered, note that, and the man took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and hands of the two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to them, they brought him out and sent them outside of the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them outside, he said, "Escape you for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please know, my Lord, indeed now your servant has found a favor in your sight. You have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now that this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun has risen upon the earth when the Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and a fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, he saw and behold, smoke of the land which went up like a smoke of furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent the Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Stop there, please. Angels had taken the Lot by hand, forcing and forcibly dragged him out of the Sodom. First, Lot lingered. Then he argued. Furthermore, he begged them to not allow them to go have his own way. Instead of being grateful for God's mercy, obeying his rescuers, Lot resisted and created trouble. This lack of urgency to do the things of God is a common sign of a compromise and backslidden condition. If you're always coming up with excuses for doing what God says in the Bible, that's an example, that's a proof of your backslidden condition. Like a lot, backsliders are the most miserable people in the world because they have too much of the world to be happy with God and too much God to be happy in the world. Mrs. Lot did not want to leave the Sodom because her heart was still there. We need to look forward to our deliverance of God, not backward at the world that is passing away and ripe for the judgment. You know, as I was putting this together, I thought about the song title. It's an old song. I Left My Heart in San Francisco. Remember that song? You know, indeed, nowadays, San Francisco would make the Sodom and Gomorrah look like a Sunday school place. By the way, just side note, San Francisco, there's one district you can be stuck naked, you will not be arrested. You can walk around on the street stuck naked. And there's one cafe, and that place, you can be naked and they will serve you. Notice, however, they had to close the shop, close the restaurant rather quickly because nobody wants to sit on the seat that the other person sat. No wonder why. Lot and his wife and their daughters basically were dragged by the hand out of the city. That's why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife in Luke chapter 17, verse 32. As she was leaving the city, she was not looking back because of maybe I dropped something. She was looking back with a lingering look. She wants something back from there. It was not a quick look. She was longing. Have you ever liked so much that you are longing for that? We have done that. But it's more than this. Her lifestyle was a fitting with the Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's why she turned into the pillar of salt. I find it interesting that Noah spoke. When Noah spoke, he told his family, we're going to build this ark. They built. And we're going to go into the ark. They did. When he spoke, his family moved. But Lot spoke, his family left and lingered. So what kinds of impact are you having on your family? Are you effective with your word as a parent or grandparents, or mother and father? Those people, the people whose heart are drawn to the Lord, draw their family to Christ. But those who are changed by the world drive their families away from Christ. We all have a moment of inconsistency and even hypocrisy. But our children and grandchildren are watching us. They are looking to us as an example. Be a good example. Amen? Back to the scripture, verse 30, please. Then the Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him. For he was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two daughters dwelt in the cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, there is no man on the earth to come into us as is the custom of the earth, all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of the father. Verse 33. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with his her father. He did not know when she lay down and when she arose. It happened on the next day, the firstborn said to the younger, Indeed, I laid with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. And you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Then they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with the child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab, and he is the father of Moabite to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, and he is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. When I teach the word of God, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book, there is some portion I'm rather uncomfortable to teach. This is case in point. But it's there. If the Lot was totally afraid to stay in Zoar, why did he not go to his uncle Abraham? Uncle could see the plain of Jordan where the Sodom and Gomorrah was punished. He could walk over there to his Abraham. No, he rather stay and go to the mountain. That is like many backslidden Christians. They'd rather dwell in the place of isolation than making themselves accountable to the fellow believers in the Lord. Am I right? Lot's daughter's flimsy excuse for this terrible sin is that all the people have perished is untrue, right? However, their brief time in Zoar have enough them to see that there are other people. Obviously, living in Sodom affected these young women more than Lot realized. We may be uncomfortable with the idea that the Bible includes the record of such a disgraceful sin, but it is far better for the children to learn the fact of life and the consequences of our sin from the Word of God, where the sin is condemned, than from other places. A lot of pastors choose not to preach this kind of thing because it's uncomfortable. But if they teach the word of God as it is, they have to deal with it. These Moabites and Ammonites became enemies and an obstacle for the Israel later. Lot ended his life in ruin, all because of his love for the world. I have two applications for you. Number one, we need to keep in mind that the world for love for the world is a sin in the sight of God. Would you go to the 1 John chapter 2, please? Verse 15. I want you to read this carefully. I want you to memorize. If you start to develop the love for the world, let this guide you back to the Lord. Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. Amen? Second application. We must remember that lack of urgency to the things of God is a common sign of a compromise and a backslidden condition. Let's stand up and pray.